We started the initiative to create a makerspace, a centralized makerspace here about 3 years ago. Before that, I taught maker-like classes. They weren't labeled maker, but they were essentially maker classes, like the physics of toys, where the students actually built a toy or designed and did skills. And then the skill development wasn't the same as my generation. So the next generation coming in doesn't have as many manual skills, or the learning stages is different for them. The typical solution for them is the YouTube or Google to get to a solution. And so to reinforce the technical skills, what I started to do is try to get people in the lab setting or in the tools, use stuff, use your hands, make stuff, create, and experience failure. And so one of the initiatives that I've seen that's needed is to encourage people to try and that it's okay to fail. On campus, we have a number of maker events and grants that are currently here. And so my ideal was to unify and create a space that this all could happen at. And so I started working on how to do that. And one way is to create a maker course, a sophomore year experience that would be transferable to any CSU system, and then have the students use a makerspace and then create a maker culture. So then they would come in and use it. And so then I asked NSF about this ideal, and they seemed to like it. And then they were also very interested in the impact of having a maker on student learning outcomes, retention, and how it affects students' perception of the STEM fields, science and tech and those things. So then once we got the grant, they let me play around in here. And then when we got the grant, they allowed me to have the larger space.
Okay, so this is a grant of more than $500,000 that
That's
you
right.
used to sort of set up the bill. Tell me what you decided, I got to have this first.
It didn't work like that. It was more of me going around to different makerspaces and different labs. And I have an extensive background already in mechanical engineering and making, creating. So I knew what I wanted. I just didn't know the brand name.
Okay, and now there was some talk there just in the speeches now about the kind of education that you get from tinkering, from hacking, using all of those words
right.
that you don't get from sitting in a classroom, that
That's
you don't
right.
get from reading a book.
I
Tell
agree.
Me just a little bit about that.
Well, I think what that does is your brain's in a different place. So what you're doing is instead of being led like in a book or something, you are making your own path. You are the leader. And so when you try something, it's because your brain says, hey, why don't you do this? And then you go to try it and it fails. And so now how do you deal with that? And so then you think about other ways, and then you really have to understand how the system works or what it is you're trying to make for it to work. And it's not so much you're following, it's now you have that independence of critical thinking. And that's the difference. You don't know the answer. So we take it to a step further than just making. So we don't want to do cookbook making. It's fine if you're making something, but if to really tinker means you don't know the answer. You don't know necessarily how to make the thing. That's where the strongest learning outcomes come from. And if you want to go through the cookbook approach of making something or building a birdhouse, you learn a lot of your skills, but you don't get the satisfaction and the growth that you get from that independent, creative tinkering and development.